do we praise kids? Because obviously we want to be nice to them. But what she says is, there is different kinds of praise. And I want to show you four pieces of praise. And I want you, again, have a look at it. See what you think of them. Is one better than the other? What would you say? All that kind of stuff. Just 5 seconds. So you're looking at that and you think, okay, yeah, I've probably said something along those lines at some point to someone. And, you know, it's all about boosting them up, making them feel good. What Carol Dweck might suggest is what we say to kids and what the kids hear are often two different things. So, for example, let's look at the top one. Wow, you learned that fast. You're so smart. You say that, meaning well. What the kid hears is, well, if I don't learn quickly, maybe I'm not smart. Look at that drawing. Is he the next Picasso or what? I best not draw anything too complicated. And if you've got young kids, you'll see this. The minute you praise a picture of a house or something, that's all they'll draw. House after house after house. I've got a 6-year-old boy, as I've said already. He draws a spider with 10 legs. 10 legs. It's rubbish. You know, what can we do? How can I pick him up and encourage him to draw? I'm not going to tell him he's Picasso. Well, maybe Picasso would draw a spider with 10 legs. I'm not so sure. But, you know, what can we do around that? We'll look at that a bit later. You're a natural. You got an A without even studying. I'm so proud of you. If I need to study, then maybe I'm not smart. And that's great. You didn't make any mistakes. Mistakes need to be avoided at all costs. Now, I don't know how many of you are involved in schools, but for me, that one really hits home. Because I'd wager we're all of a certain vintage that we know that we learn heaps more from our mistakes than we ever do from any of our successes. The bigger the mistake, the more epic the fail, the more we actually learn. Smart people in the real world make heaps of mistakes. But in schools, only dumb people make mistakes. That's the context. That's the thinking. We need to change that. So Dweck says by talking in this way, we actually create what she calls a fixed mindset. So we tell people that they're really clever. You're a genius. This is dangerous in New South Wales. You're gifted and talented. Now, I might upset a few people here, but I have this idea that instead of calling it the Gifted and Talented Program, we should actually recognize a few things. Number one, it's very hard to be gifted and talented on the piano if you don't have a piano. If your parents aren't willing to fork out $50 a week for piano lessons. It's very hard to be gifted and talented on the sporting field unless you've got a parent who's willing to drive you 3 nights a week to training. So for me, I'd rather these classes were called the class that recognises you were born into a household where your innate ability was recognised first and foremost, then had the resources, time and effort and commitment for you to nurture those to the point where you're actually a little bit better than everyone else. Class. Granted, it's not quite as catchy as gifted and talented. And while we're at it, because we're in New South Wales, opportunity classes. What's that to say? The kids in the hall, down the hall, they're in the no opportunity class. But I'm being serious, because for every kid that we tell is clever, there's a whole heap of kids we're telling they're not clever. You know, Dweck's research is quite compelling on this. She says if we tell kids that they're geniuses, they're clever, they're really smart, look at that, you've done it so quickly, blah, 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 blah. What actually happens is the minute they actually have to work, they fall down. Now, I've been a high school teacher all my career, and this is what happens with a lot of kids. In year 8 or year 9, I start getting emails from concerned parents. The school isn't pushing their kid. They were so good at primary school. They were in the top sets for everything. And now all of a sudden he's got this teacher, and to be honest, this teacher's not very good. He's bored in class, that's why he's acting up. And I have to have those conversations, or I used to when I was working, with the parents saying, well, actually, the problem actually here is that the school is pushing your kid, they just don't like it. Because the minute they have to start working harder, it challenges their identity of being smart. The minute that they're starting to make mistakes, remember, these mistakes are something that has to be avoided. And it starts eating away at the very fabric of their identity. So rather than try and fail, or try and only get 15 out of 20, they'd actually rather withdraw. And then they start to lie about the teacher not being fair or picking on them. And, you know, what actually happens is these kids who think they're clever actually start to think they're not. And remember, these are the kids who have been told since this big they are clever. Imagine these kids. In schools, we've got too many kids who think they either can't learn anymore or they don't need to learn anymore. And this is what Dweck calls the fixed mindset, and it comes purely about the language we use around them, the way we praise them, the way we challenge their mistakes. And we have to really start thinking about how we do this, both on the home front and at school.